You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up, it's day one of the Republican National Convention. Starting tonight at 7, join NPR coverage of the big event in Cleveland. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network. First, the number of kids and teens getting a concussion diagnosis more than doubled between 2007 and 2014. That's according to a study presented at a conference earlier this month, drawing from insurance claim data. Scary news? Maybe. Or maybe it's good news. One possible explanation for the rise in these concussion numbers is that in youth sports, parents, kids, and coaches are taking concussions more seriously and seeking medical attention instead of shaking off a potential head injury. We'll turn now to two Wisconsin experts on youth, sports, and concussions. Dr. Allison Brooks is with us. She's an associate professor of orthopedics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Brooks, thanks for joining us today.
You're most welcome.
And Dr. Kevin Walter is with us. He's director of the Pediatric and Adolescent Sports Medicine Program at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Dr. Walter, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Dr. Brooks, first of all, when you see numbers like this, apparently the number of concussion diagnoses going up among kids, do you think we're having more concussions or just paying more attention to them?
I really think that a large proportion of it is explained by the state concussion laws that every state in the union has now and mandatory education, which I think hopefully is resulting in better recognition and reporting. So I think that we haven't had a good handle of what is the true incidence of concussion, and obviously as more people report the injury, I view that as overwhelmingly a positive thing.
And both of you work on sports issues. You've done a lot of work on panels and working with teams. Dr. Walter, do you see a culture change happening, not just in law, but on the sidelines where people are taking these things more seriously?
Slowly but surely we do. I think we're seeing athletes more likely to report their injury, and I'm actually getting stories of teammates who are reporting their own teammates because they're acting differently when they are out on the field or they return to the huddle. These are things that I would venture to say 5 to 7 years ago were kind of unheard of and rare, and it's becoming more frequent. But it still needs to get better. We're not at 100% reporting, like Dr. Brooks said. We need more reporting to be able to get a handle on this. And this is an injury where bad outcomes are truly preventable by reporting. So 90% is not good enough.
Yeah, let's talk about those outcomes and what's at stake. Dr. Brooks, what happens long term if we have concussions and we ignore them and maybe put kids back out onto the field who are suffering from a concussion?
Well, obviously, that's what's really on everyone's mind right now. And obviously, there is some concerning or scary information, you know, that's coming, you know, from a sport like football at the professional levels. But I think people really need to be cautious in interpreting that data, because how much it applies to the high school population or even the collegiate population, I think we really don't understand at this point, you know, who is really going to go on and have a long-term adverse outcome from playing a collision or contact sport. That being said, you know, athletes, I think we do have some pretty good evidence that athletes who sustain an injury, don't report it, continue to play with symptoms for a period of time, end up really doing worse, at least in the short term. In my experience, those athletes, by the time they do come forward for medical care, you know, are much more symptomatic or really having trouble academically, take much longer to get better. And athletes who maybe say that they're recovered from a concussion and go back to play too soon are a much higher risk of getting a second injury in that same season. And I think that second injury, in my experience, tends to also be much worse and take them much longer to recover from. So I think there are some really important messages that we can give athletes and their coaches and their parents about the importance of reporting an injury and your symptoms immediately rather than continuing to play and participate for a period of time, because there are negative consequences for doing so.
Dr. Walter, I remember, you know, back in the day, not that long ago, if you're watching especially a pro football game, they'd sort of laugh the announcers about somebody getting their bell rung. I imagine that has happened at different levels of sports. what still needs to happen to change the mentality for coaches who want to keep players in the game, for the players themselves who don't want to take themselves out of the game, they want to be out there and playing. What still needs to happen to get that reporting higher and to get us taking more care after that first injury?
I still think it's just continued awareness and education. I mean, the more we can push that education of what a concussion is, what it feels like, reporting it, and how and why we treat it, hopefully the better people understand the injury and recognize, I agree with Dr. Brooks, with delayed reporting, especially with kids, they take longer to get it back out on the field. And so they don't want to report because they're afraid that they're not going to be able to play, so they don't report it. And then in the end, that ends up costing them more time away from the field when they don't recover. Whereas if they would have reported right away, started resting and appropriate treatment, usually they get better faster and they're back out there. So I think that education and awareness is key. And really beyond that, you know, it's you can't really legislate integrity, and you just have to hope that people do the right thing and report these injuries and keep these kids off when they're symptomatic.
Talking to two experts on concussions and youth sports, Dr. Kevin Walter from Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, Dr. Allison Brooks from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences, thoughts, and questions. Again, 800-642-1234. Dr. Walter, I've thought as a parent, my kids play soccer, and I've had those moments like, oh, you hear the bad stuff about concussions. Should they stop playing? Lots of parents asking these questions. What's your message to parents in that boat? Should they still play sports, their kids, even with this risk of concussion?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I am a firm believer in youth sports and athletics. You know, your other options, let's be honest these days, with the childhood obesity epidemic and everyone, you know, complaining, all my kids do are sit on their phone and play games, or, you know, hook up to Xbox and start gaming. So sports is a great way to get them out, keep them healthy, get them active, and it also teaches them how to be a teammate, how to be a person, how to win, how to lose, those life lessons. And I think injuries happen, and they can happen. I could slip on the ice when I'm shoveling my sidewalk and get hurt. Obviously, they're more common in sport, so injuries are going to happen, but that's another kind of life lesson. How do you deal with that injury, get through, and really getting through an injury and coming back and playing, the sense of pride that a lot of these young athletes have is quite amazing. So I'm all for sports. I think they can be played relatively safely, and I think they help much, 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 much more than they would potentially cause any harm.
And Dr. Brooks, I know you played collegiate soccer. You work with some of the teams at UW-Madison. What do you think about age-appropriate risk? You know, in soccer, there's talk about when headers should start, things like that. Can we scale sports so they're age-appropriate as athletes develop?
I think, unfortunately, that's still a big unknown. You know, there's a lot of fear and, frankly, litigation driving a lot of decisions about making changes to youth sports or even collegiate sports. On the other hand, there's always ways that we can make youth sports safer. And I think actually USA Hockey is a great example of this idea about how you develop skills in a sport. And they've been willing to, for example, delay the age at which body checking is introduced because of the risk of injury and specifically concussion associated with, you know, at whatever age you introduce body checking. So the importance of teaching how to do that skill appropriately, and I think the same sort of concept applies in soccer in terms of, you know, developmentally teaching kids appropriately how to do the skill, and it is tougher to know when can you safely introduce certain aspects of a game into the sport. At the same time, understanding, as Kevin said, there is risk of injury in any sport, and so you have to be willing to accept some amount of injury. But I think that the I'm an injury prevention researcher at heart, and I really think there's always stuff that we can be doing to make the game safer. Youth sports are safe. We can always make them safer, and we will strive to do so. But I am a firm believer in kids continuing to be active in sports, and I think sometimes we lose sight of all those positive messages because of some of the negativity and the fear about injury.
We're talking to Dr. Allison Brooks from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and Dr. Kevin Walter from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. And we're talking about kids, sports, and concussions. Everybody's watching the numbers, the research coming out there. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are a parent, a young athlete, or a coach, how do you deal with a suspected concussion, a head injury? Have things changed in recent years? Are there sports you would not let your kid play because of the risk of concussion? Or do you weigh the risk? And as both of our experts do say, no, the benefits of youth sports outweigh it. Let's just be safe. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll be back with a conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now about kids and concussions and sports. We've got two Wisconsin experts with us, Dr. Kevin Walter from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, Dr. Allison Brooks from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. New study finds a big increase, more than double over an 8-year span when it comes to concussions in that 10 to 19 age range, but that's maybe because we're paying more attention, not because there are more injuries. You can call in at 800-642-1234. Do you see more awareness of concussions in school and club sports? If you're a coach, a parent, or an athlete, are possible concussions being taken more seriously? How do things work on your sidelines? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got Ben on the line in Wisconsin. Ben, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you think?
I think that whatever a kid is passionate for, you should let them do it, especially if it's a sports activity. There's a huge epidemic also in our society of, I think, people lacking activity and, you know, staying home more and doing stuff, you know, in terms of from an internet-based area, and getting them to get out and do stuff with other people is a great experience.
Ben, thanks.
Go ahead. I was both a player and a coach, and I love, you know, not looking back at those times, but running into those people more or less that you did stuff with. It's always fun to see them, and it's a different experience rather than seeing someone else you didn't do anything with.
Ben, thanks a lot for sharing your thoughts and your experiences. Dr. Walter, I mean, we hear almost a tone of panic sometimes from us in the media, I'll admit, about concussions in sports. But do you think most people out there are in Ben's category and yours that, yes, it's a worry, but the benefits outweigh the risks?
I think so. I do. I think so. And it's hard. So at Children's, we see a lot of high school and younger kids that come in injured, and families and parents are really concerned. When it happens to your kid and your kid is headachy and struggling to pay attention and having difficulty in school, and then they turn on ESPN and they hear these terrible stories of professional athletes with chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and it automatically they just leap to that fear of, oh my gosh, is this going to be my child? And you know, no, not if you treat it appropriately. It's not going to get to that point. So I think there's a lot more fear than there used to be back 10 years ago. But I still think overall, when I have conversations with families, and they can take a deep breath and recognize that my kid is not going to be devastated if we take care of their concussion effectively, they take a deep breath, and then they start to drift back and recognize how beneficial sport can be.
Ben, thanks for that call. We just lost Abby in Sturgeon Bay, but she wanted to know on a practical level what kind of symptoms to watch for a potential concussion. Dr. Brooks, can you start us off on that?
Well, sure. What's challenging about this injury is, you know, there's a cluster of symptoms, and every individual is different in terms of, you know, how they specifically might present with a concussion. But we tend to think of them in sort of different domains, either, you know, physical symptoms or cognitive symptoms or neuropsychological symptoms, but certainly headache, feeling foggy, feeling like things are in slow motion are common ones, being overly sensitive to light and noise, and, you know, certainly the athlete who at a, you know, athletic competition clearly seems confused and they can't remember the play, or you keep asking questions to teammates, or, you know, another area I think that's important is from a personality standpoint, how is that athlete acting, and that's where having athletic trainers on the sideline is so important. People who really know the athletes well and can tell when they're acting strange, not themselves, either being, you know, more emotional or irritable. You know, some of those really subtle changes in this is not how this person usually acts. Sometimes being nauseated, I would say vomiting is a rare symptom, and when athletes are vomiting, we tend to obviously do more evaluation to make sure there's not a more significant injury. But there's a whole list, and they're not all specific to concussion, right? There are other things that can cause those same symptoms, which is part of what makes this still in many ways a challenging diagnosis.
And that's a good time to pull kids out of a game, obviously. Dr. Walter, briefly, we're just about out of time. When do we definitely seek immediate medical attention for a suspected concussion?
Immediate medical attention, if there's loss of consciousness, you've got to assume that that athlete not only has a concussion, but also a neck injury potentially. Repetitive vomiting, like Dr. Brooks had said, obviously seizures. But the big ones are three things, in my opinion. One, if any of their symptoms are getting worse, worsening headache, worsening dizziness, worsening nausea, you've got to go in and get it taken care of. Number two, if it's the worst headache they've ever had, tears in their eyes, crying for the headache, you've got to go in. And then number three, if you're just uncomfortable, if you as a parent or as a coach on the sideline is nervous about that young athlete in front of you, you've got to get them to a place like an ER or an urgent care where they can get looked at and be reassured, because what you look for is something more than concussion, like a brain bleed or a skull fracture, things like that.
We'll leave it with that advice. Thanks to Dr. Kevin Walter from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, Dr. Allison Brooks from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health.